I'm Nick Harcourt. I'm here at the station at the SoCal Sound, and we have Gabriels in the house. Good to see you guys.
Hello. Hey.
How's it going?
Howdy.
Thank you so much for coming in. I've got Ryan, Avi, and Jacob.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about the band, how you got together. I know you're from very different backgrounds. I don't know who wants to start. You're from L.A.
I'm from L.A. He's from L.A.
He's from L.A. He's from LA. Sunderland in the north of England, which I went to once. I was lucky to get out alive, I think.
Yeah. It can't be that bad. Everyone talks about it. Have you met his family and his friends? It can't be that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad if you know them.
Yeah. So who wants to start? I mean, you moved to L.A., right, about 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here for a minute. I moved here because I was directing music videos.
Right.
And then I was directing commercials as well. And anyway, I was here doing a music video for Pharrell and 2 Chainz. And I met this guy who was helping me in the director's bureau, the company I'd signed to. That's where I heard Ari's music on a short film that he'd made. And then I went to his apartment. I kind of stalked him, in the words of the man of God.
So was the original idea you wanted to use his music?
Well, I used to make techno, basically. I kind of still do. I was making tunes for fun as
right.
a hobby.
Right.
And so I had a bunch of drum machines and synths, and I was moving to LA and I needed a studio. So I'd heard his music and I loved his music, basically. It was kind of the sort of type of stuff that was on the short film. I felt bad because I didn't really comment on the lads' film. I commented on the music.
Great music.
Yeah, I did. I was like, who made the music?
Right.
And that's how I met Ari, because he told me that Ari, his friend, knows some studios.
Right.
And so basically I went around and met Ari, and then we kind of hit it off straight away, started making tunes together. He took me around his studios. He hooked me up with a studio in North Hollywood. And it was like a lockup garage kind of thing. And so I moved all my drum machines and synths in there, and we started making music together.
Got it.
Just for fun, really. And that developed into us making music for film, which is where we met Jacob on a film project.
Dun, 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 dun. Ta-da! Jacob.
And I was uninterested. I wasn't uninterested. I was just busy with life and, you know, I had some ups and downs. I was kind of on what I considered an up. Where we are now makes it look like a low.
But he had a history that we didn't really, I mean, it was funny because he had a history in the game that I didn't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was just this thing where he just came to the casting, and that's how I just thought they were amazing.
Well, you were in a choir.
My aunt, who's not really my aunt, she asked me that. She was just trying to, she was just trying to get a job. So, like, actors are just trying to get acting jobs.
Sure.
It's a commercial. I was doing the same.
Yeah.
So she was trying to get a job.
This is Los Angeles.
Yeah.
She's an actress. She was trying to get a job. And so I had booked a whole lot of singing things because I sing. So, and she was like, can you help me? Because you clearly got some magic thing. I hadn't really done any, like, TV or commercials like that. And I went on 4 auditions and I got all of them.
Wow.
So she was like, what the f*** are you doing?
I'm going to hitch my...
So she was like, help me. And I was like, fuck off. I didn't say that, but I like that word now. Maybe I've been around the English people too much, but I like saying that a lot. So I didn't want to do it. And then she kind of made it. So I took the church choir. I don't know if I actually sang in the audition, but we're all kind of musically psycho. So I'm musically psycho. So the choir was tight, to be clear.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure it was.
They were tight.
I have no doubt.
Got the job.
Yeah. We got this. And they were like, and I think the difference is too with those kind of things, there's like professional people. So all the actors get all their union friends and then they bring in and they're like very professional and very polished.
Sure.
And like, and this, and we were polished as well, but these were like normal people. They were the pastor, his wife hopped in the choir, was a plumber, retired people, a hairdresser. Like it was, you know, people took off work to come because they, and I think the energy that we gave was probably different as well because they were excited. They were like, oh, we're going to be in a movie. We're going to be on TV.
Sure.
It was that kind of energy.
Oh, okay.
Everyone was lovely.
Yeah, everyone was just so excited to be there.
Was chill, lovely,
so it was a different, and I think that's, anyway, so we booked it.
And we had some good choirs in that day, I'll be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, I wasn't like I mean, it was a pretty amazing cast. It was a really big job at the time. When I won the job, it was definitely something that helped me out financially. I was broke at the time, really.
Oh, so it was a good gig for you, though.
It was an incredible gig.
Right.
So it was good for us.
Yeah. And I knew, and the other choirs, because all the, you know, all the little singers, don't know if you've heard actors talk about it, but like when they go to an audition, all the actors that they know, you kind of look alike, so you know. So all of the singers in LA were at the audition.
That's kind of the vibe.
So it was, very like, and so you're kind of like, oh, let's see who gets it, and I've never even, I don't think we went this deep into the story before. So the, they booked our choir, our church choir, which was just average Joe people, and then they added some of the other people from the other choirs. And I don't know if you realize, so he put me in charge, and I was like, what the fuck? Or both of them put me in charge. I was like, why did they do this to me? Now, I don't know if he realized it or not, but I knew the other, because we all know each other. And they weren't really surprised. They were, I think they were under the assumption that this was like somehow we all knew each other, we had a thing. I don't know if I guys ever told you guys this.
Oh, wow.
But some of the other singers who you brought, they were like, oh, this is Jacob's thing, and Jacob's, because I've done some work and stuff before.
Because you've done that, you were doing all of it.
But before. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it was it was a very interesting kind of like full circle moment. I was like, oh, this looks like I didn't hire these people, and I have not.
Because it was cool. It's like
been a fun day on set.
I was just start, because I used to make music with just drum machines and stuff. I didn't know anything about music, so I just started like, because I've learned everything from music from these two. Do you know what I mean? This is like my music. I didn't know anything. I didn't literally know anything about even chords. Nothing. Right. Like, I didn't know anything. I just knew I had these things that made these sounds.
Yeah, you could. And press buttons like, and this sound would come out.
You know what I'm saying? So like when I met Ari, it was like I got taught everything.
Well, you met a musician who plays an instrument.
Well, a good one.
Yeah.
There's plenty of bad ones. And so anyway, basically the thing was I learned everything from him and him. So he, like, I remember when Ari, you know, Ari was the one who really put Jacob in charge. Because like he would like recognize pretty quickly. Do you know what I mean? Like his ability and talents and everything.
I would have put him in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight away.
No, you would have put.
Well, he was just saving it because I had to record it, really. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you knew how to like kind of put it together. I remember on set, I was on the floor with my laptop and we were like recording them, through the like
that
sound
was the beginning
guy's
of, like,
rig. And then I had to kind of take what they had done and edit it and arrange it into like what fit for the commercial.
So what was this for? What was the project?
It was for like a protein powder thing.
Yeah. Okay. It was like they were doing, they're working out, and this choir is like, it's the voices in your head like telling you to quit.
Oh, yeah, I got
and
those.
Stuff like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. It was. So. Now, interestingly enough, most people don't know this. As a young person, weird. I didn't want to be a singer. I wanted to be a choir director.
Mm.
So, like, choir, like, that's like my fun place. So, I turn into like, a crazy person.
Wow, so we got two directors in the band already.
No. I cannot.
There's three of you. Oh, my goodness.
What I was going to say,
the three of us do have that. Yeah, it's true.
So obviously that day, magic happened.
Yeah, like honestly, it was the beginning of what this is.
Yeah.
It's very, like, really weirdly, we've all kind of like just grown in our own ways in this thing and doing it, but that still is very much the dynamic, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, that's where, I don't know, you enjoy. And it's weird how it fell into that very early. But then to think about, like, God, that room, that day, and now, what we're doing now is kind of a trip, yeah.
It's like a mega cyclone, if that's even a thing.
I'm sure it is.
So, like, yeah, there's, like, Hurricane Jacob. Hurricane Ari, Hurricane Ryan, and then they come, and then they just... and we're all, like, doing stuff.
I know.
And we all kind of like, and we don't really step on each other, I feel like. It's very rare that I'm stepping on him, or like it's very like we just move in this way.
Honestly, it's nice to feel like for me, like when I come, like, oh, that the music's covered. Well, it's because shit just gets covered and done because people just like, it, like I know that they've got the, like the, that shit's always going to be great, you know? And I feel like I've been spoiled in that way. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I'm in a band where I never need to worry about that.
So how did it develop from that to beginning to make music together and to writing lyrics?
So our Ryan invited me. I think they had been hanging out and doing music at his house in the desert for a while.
That was a cosmic time.
And then he invited me out. So you've lived in LA for a while. So I say this a lot now. So he invited me to Palm Springs. Well, it was Palm Desert, but Palm, same thing, right?
Yeah, same
thing. He invited me to his place in Palm Desert. Like, you should come for a few days and hang out with us.
Yeah.
Now, Palm Desert. I'm like, oh, this is about to be like shroom heaven.
Yes. Take me to the wall,
this is
man.
It's gonna be like party time. And I was like, I don't party at all. I don't drink. I'm pretty boring. But I have my own things.
Definitely
I'm
not sure boring.
I have my own little vices and things.
You don't.
But anyway, but I was like, I don't know if I want to like go party, because when you think of music and you think of that, so I'm like, oh, this is gonna be like Coke Central.
Hippies in the desert doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It was the complete opposite. It was like a health retreat. He was making celery juice. I'm like, he made this salad. I'll never forget it because I'm like, I don't want to fucking eat this shit. It was eggplant and avocado and
squash.
And squash. Sorry,
I love that salad.
But it was actually really good, and I was like, oh, this is maybe I could do some health. But in that, I think it might have been 4 or 5 days. We wrote this song called Wreath, and it was like sparse, and it was like techno, but R&B, but
like
pop.
Sound design.
Yeah, and sound design. It was
like scoring.
Yeah.
It was just like, honestly, it was pretty experimental really, mm-hmm. when I look back, but.
It was really special. It was something, yeah.
But it was the first thing where we kind of like went in really deep on personal lyrics, kind of just saying what you want to say in a song, and then it just started to fit in, and.
Yeah.
It was a big step in our style of writing right now, if that makes sense, because it was nothing in terms of writing lyrics and just what are you trying to say and what's the point. Yeah. That was like a cornerstone.
How do you create? How do you write? I mean, I know that you write some deeply personal stuff. How do you write as a band?
Well, let me say one thing, and I got to say this about Wreath, and I want to say because I've never said it before. I sent Wreath, I don't even know if I ever told you guys this, that's probably why y'all stopped sending me stuff, because I was sending it to people. I sent Wreath to my manager at the time. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I bet.
But it was the most exciting thing that I had ever, for me, I had ever recorded for me. And
for me too, honestly. It was exciting, I'll be real. Totally. Like, even now, I listened to it recently. I listened to it a few weeks ago, and it was like that kind of moment. Then we went for years after that, sort of developing a proper start, because that was just, it was these loose things, but the thing that like really stayed with us was really the lyric writing side of that, that's the thing that stayed from that moment of trying to get into a more, just a relevant place of what's the point, why should anybody care, and how are the lyrics that you say are going to help anyone?
I think the first I heard of you was a couple of years ago. You did a couple of EPs, I think, right?
Yeah.
And now there's an album that is in two parts. Is that right? The first part came out last year. Second part's about to come out.
It's just an album at this stage.
Yeah, they're both together. Part one and two. Yeah. It's one.
It's an album.
It's called Angels and Queens.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about going from those early recordings to the EPs to actually an album.
To something you mentioned about as our writing thing, and I think it's apropos for the album as well. We really write the songs together, which is hard for people to wrap their heads around, but it's really like with the wreath, Lord Jesus, with Wreath, and even with like Taboo, which is one of my favorite songs that we've done, or Remember Me.
Great Wind. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, it's all of our stories combined. Like, it may seem more poignant to me because I'm singing it.
Sure, but you co-write the lyrics together?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, that's not usual, I don't think, no.
No. It's not, but
yeah, I think the overall process is not usual, but it's really cool. It's kind of this.
Well, whatever works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly, it's working.
Well, it takes a certain level, and this is the origin story is cool, but it's special because you can't have ego in that room.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work, like, which is hard outside of the group, just being honest. But in the room with just us and nobody there, you can't have ego or you'll never get anything done.
Right.
And it has to go through three very different like stories. Like through our three different trajectories, our three different opinions, our three different things. So if it gets past the three of us, it ends up a song.
And three different filters,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is also like encouraging each other to be themselves. You know, so it's like if you feel something, you're like, whoa, I really feel that from you.
Right.
You know, it's not like it's like, oh yeah, I have to also feel that. You know, it's like, it's this interesting thing of like almost sections of songs come in different ways, and then we put stuff together. It's really, Yeah.
I know that in the last couple of years, things have really started to ramp up. Obviously, you've gotten some great attention here, but in particular in Europe and in the UK.
Yeah, Europe is, and the UK has been wild.
Yeah. I saw a clip of you doing Jules Holland, which I think was just recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of times at Glastonbury.
Yeah. It's really, a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You played Glastonbury 2 years running, which doesn't.
Biggest, which happen. Never happened.
Yeah. Biggest right. musical crowd ever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you said it, what did you call it? A mega cyclone?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on right now.
That was always funny. Even at Glastonbury, the festival, like the three of us are just being who we are naturally.
Right.
It was like, we were kind of sort of all over the festival.
Right.
different right. parts of right. it, if that makes sense. Because the three of us are like obviously into different stuff and doing different things as well. And it's like, it is weird to me that like I live here and how open Europe and the UK in particular, they're like, I mean, they love it. You know, I'm not being, they do. And it's like amazing to see how like, I can't remember the last time like in America, like, because we live in America, right?
Yeah.
So really we're an American band. I'm an Englishman in an American band. That's the truth. But it's this thing where like, I can't really remember the last time an American band like this was so well received in Europe or the UK. You know what I'm saying?
I can't
name you one right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of an American band.
Yeah, it almost feels like we are a British man.
I feel
yeah.
British.
Yeah, I see mean? Them as
but
that.
It's, yeah, that's, not, that's, yeah, it's like a weird.
That's it. It's like
and now we're like coming to America.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Like now we're going to break America. But we, you know.
And they're so American. It's like fucking Chipotle, hot sauce on everything. They've got like, they're Americans. You know what I mean?
I like Chipotle. Don't tell anybody. You know what I'm saying?
It's American.
Collard greens and cornbread.
And out.
Yeah. I heard you talk about collard greens and fish and chips the other day. Didn't you talk about that?
Yeah. So I was gonna, so.
Food's big on the chat list.
The English have their fish and chips.
You can't knock it, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I need to fry you.
You gotta fry
it. I need to fry you some like Louisiana, Atlanta, yeah. Houston fish, a little catfish.
I'm in.
All right.
Sold.
And then you're gonna be like, oh.
So how's this, how's the show? Do you have mushy peas with that? I just want to...
No, you do not have mushy peas.
Okay.
No, there's no mushy peas. There's no vinegar.
So how does this thing grow now, show-wise? Because, you know, you've got the choir aspect, you've got an orchestral aspect.
Yeah.
How do you see this growing from the performance point of view?
Just naturally.
What? Yeah, I think the music is naturally evolving, and it could go minimal. It could go more, you know, visual state. We do a lot of stuff. Ryan's like super involved with the visuals, the lighting. You know, a lot of theatrical elements.
I think I think it's also a thing to note that I think part of why our growth has been the way that it has in Europe is because of the live shows. So like our Definitely. First live show was less than 2 years ago. It was 100 people in a basement at the Social. And then I think our last show has been a few thousand or whatever. And we've done, it was, you know.
Yeah, that was literally less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was our first show.
So in our first live show, we had a we had timpani.
Like vibraphone.
We had a vibraphone.
We had three backing singers. We had like nine.
Upright bass in right. this little bitty.
And we just had the you know, kind of the luck of to have the support because it kind of came out of COVID and we had never played. And we were like, look, if we're going to do this, this is how we want to do this. We want to do it with a band. We want to kind of play it without not do like the karaoke thing where it's like you're singing to tracks. Whatever. Especially early on, it felt like we wanted to show that we could play this music and that it's real songs that can be like executed by musicians kind of thing. At that stage, that was our thing. And I feel like things have evolved now as we're making music. It's like the product, you know, things as you grow from that, then you're opening up to more modern styles on the live thing. But I think we would always want to have that feeling of, you know, real delivering a song. And
which was rare at that time. I guess this was something what people were saying as well, like coming out of COVID to that point, is that people, when they come to these shows, like there was a crazy word of mouth thing that happened in London where everybody was saying like, oh, it's the real thing. It's like actually real musicians. It's real music. It's a proper band. It's
yeah.
And it's been a minute. It's been a minute since a new
And people
band.
Were hungry for that after
People
COVID
were hungry
well.
For that. They were hungry yeah. for some yeah. real connection, yeah. some real yeah. stuff. And like, yeah. honestly, as mental as it was, and this is the thing, our manager, I will give him these things. I will
He let
this.
Us, because I mean, we had a couple of fights because he was like, you want one singer? I said, no.
Yeah.
It has to be three yeah. or none.
We had a vibraphone.
Yeah, we went like two, you know, just all
all in and appeared off.
And not saying we'll never get rid of our band, but like in an age where artists are like not performing with their band, we had a, and even the level at it, like we invested, like we styled the girls out of our own pockets. Definitely. We styled myself out of my own pocket. Like it was very.
We used our own equipment.
Oh, used our own equipment.
Like we're, taking
like,
out
we're investing.
We still doing
we're
that.
Putting right. everything we have into this. Whether it makes sense or not, we're just gonna give it, make it the best that we can absolutely make it.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna play some songs for us, which I'm really excited to show everybody. And it's really cool to meet you guys.
Likewise.
I'm a fan of the music. Like, and when they told me that you guys were coming in, I put my hand up to do the interview. So continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Morning start the night, and then the night becomes the day. I can't keep up with time. I keep losing still, keep hoping for the winning. You can change my mind. Not a slave if I'm already free. Not a captive if it's where I wanna be. Cause, ooh la la, who's gonna catch me when I fall down? Strolling down these halls of rolling dice and waterfalls, I can't help but smile. Troubled fortunes lies and shambles underneath the flashing lights. On a skyline. Said what I said, it don't matter to me. Can't be a slave if I'm already free. Can't be a captive if it's where I wanna be. Ooh la 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 la, the crowd calls. Who's gonna catch me when I fall down? Slave if I'm already free, not a captive if it's where I wanna be. Ooh la 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 la, the crowd calls. Who's gonna catch me when I fall down? Rhonda clean the floors for Kitchy Paw. Sweet as kind of rain, ain't had to work no days. Paid with her fish, but every bill got paid. Even beauty
fades away. La, this thing came afire. Bloodline. Silver linings live in clouds, just like demons use the clowns. Birthrights can bestow. Truth is, you always alone. Tears in your hand, seems you've lost before you began. Your ancestors' blood fed the soil and the sand. Bloodline, this thing came before your da-da-da-da-da, bloodline. Speak bravely, speak truly, do it with all of your heart. Speak freely, choose wisely, those below are not who you are. Keep rising. Keep shining till the ocean meets the stars. Bloodline, don't let it destroy you. Baby girl is fine at 19. Rain on catfish and collard greens. Brown eyes smelling real sweet. Kitty tight with a strong heartbeat. The way she put that thing on me, that way now that made me lose control. Michael says she gon' break my heart and then take my soul. Angels at quest. Help me, baby girl up in the magazine. Bitch ain't darling all the fashion scene. Soul to soul to be a beauty queen. That's the worst empty line I've seen. Nobody said that you ain't got the face to change the game and change it all. You're just another motherfucker looking up at a mirror ball. Oh, they angel equipping. Somebody help me. I've been feeling alone. Still believing that this would grow. I've been meaning to let you know it's time now for me to go. Ooh, this glass ceiling is falling through. Still I am nothing without you. I don't need nobody but you. Conquer anything. I don't need nothing but your love and time. It'll be just fine. through no matter what I stick true. Through the ups and downs, I realized all that I needed was you. Angel, angels and flame. You and me, we will always be angels. Just like it's always been, just like it's always been. Yeah, it just, yeah, it plays. Baby, 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 angels will always be.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.